Brown.
To God be the glory.
Thank you.
To God be the glory for the things that God has done and all the things that God continues to do. To Pastor Rob, to Dr. J, let's give a hand clap of praise. Pastor Jen, Pastor Mindy there at Midtown, Pastor Marion, Pastor Eve, and Pastor Millard. God bless you and thank you so much. It is an honor to be here at St. Luke's. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your witness. We heard the music ministry. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. To God be the glory. You know, the last song they sang, Believing God for the Impossible, is a part of the title. Say this with me on the count of three, our title. One, two, three. Faith
for the impossible.
Let's say it one more time. One, two, three. Let's pray. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far along the way, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. This sermon is grounded in the scripture text that you just heard read from the Old Testament that we'll refer to again in a moment or two. And the other part of the grounding of this sermon is from one of my new books, Faith for Essential Practices. Many of you used this book in one of your small groups recently, and thank you so much for the investment of time and resources. It's my belief that out of all of the spiritual disciplines, faith is one of the most difficult to practice. Perhaps it's easy for you, but it's not that easy for me. And that's why I wrote this book, because faith oftentimes isn't easy for me. I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with fear. I struggle with worry. I struggle with doubt. And so I wanted to write a book that was for folks who struggle like I have struggled over the years with faith. And when it comes to faith, I believe there are these four practices that we can lean into. The first is the practice of waiting. The second is the practice of prayer. The third is the practice of thinking, but the fourth, and that's our focus today, that's the practice of action. Faith without works is dead. It's a blessing to be able to wait and to grow your faith. It's a blessing to be able to pray and grow your faith. It's a blessing to be able to think differently and grow your faith, but it's not enough just to wait and to pray and to think. We must act. We must move. We must go forward. And that's the power of action. And I believe as we have faith to trust God for the impossible, it is always about movement. It's always about action. And so when it comes to acting in faith, there are these three things that I want you to remember. We act in hope, we act in purpose, and we act in faith. Let's say those three together. We act in
hope,
we act in
purpose,
and we act in
faith.
When I think about acting in hope, my mind goes back to one of our great American leaders, Congressman John Lewis, who acted in hope. When Twitter was called Twitter in 2018, he gave this famous tweet: "Do not get lost in the sea of despair. Be hopeful. Be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, or a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and to get into good trouble, necessary trouble." And when that tweet, amen, went out in 2018, like Pentecost Sunday, it caught on fire, and people had t-shirts, and people reposted, and people talked about getting into good trouble, getting into the way for justice, getting in the way for peace, getting in the way for all of the things that all of humanity should have at birth, but yet sometimes don't receive because of governments and inhumanity and segregation and injustices. And so in 2018, he acted in hope and reminded us to get into good trouble. But so often people who recently met Congressman John Lewis in 2018 through that tweet thought that his hope was a new hope, thought that he had just started developing hope. But when you study John Lewis's life, his hope of faith did not begin in 2018, but he possessed this hope in his early 20s. It was August of 1963 at our nation's capital where the March on Washington took place. And so many would remember that one of the greatest speeches of all time from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., where he declared, "I have a dream." But Dr. King was not the only speaker at the March on Washington. It was this young 20-something named John Lewis who stood there at the March on Washington. And these are the words that he said: "By the force of our demands, our determination, our numbers, we shall splinter the segregated South into 1,000 pieces and put them together in the image of God and democracy. We must say, wake up, America, wake up, for we cannot stop. And we will not and cannot be patient." His hope was not born on Twitter in 2018, but his hope was born as a young man when he discovered that there is a God of faith and hope that is eternal. And so as you are trusting God for the impossible, don't give up on hope. Don't let your hope die. Hope means that tomorrow will be better than today. And for some of you, that is the only thing that gets you through every second, every moment, every hour, is to know that although it's not okay right now, I believe that tomorrow will be better than today. In the midst of your impossible situation, don't give up on hope. As we're acting in faith and trusting God for the impossible, we must remember our hope. But not only must we remember our hope, we must also remember our purpose and act in purpose. One of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament is Proverbs 29, verse 18, and it says, "When there's no vision, the people get out of control." The King James translation, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." But what if we insert this word purpose? Where there is no purpose, the people lose their way. When we're trusting God for the impossible, it's not only about possessing hope, it's also about remembering your purpose. Why do you exist? Why are you here? Why in all of the people, in all of creation, did God only make you as a unique person? I remember talking to a gentleman from the business community in our local church who had done extremely well in the business world. And he was entering the end of his professional career. And he says, "Oh, Lou, I have been successful through my business life, but for the rest of my business life, I want to be significant." See, there's a difference between success and significance. So many people have had success in so many aspects of the world and of life, but when they get to the end of their life, they're not quite sure if their life has been significant. To live your life on purpose means that, yes, you're successful, but more than success, you believe your life meant something. Your life mattered. And when you take your last breath on this side of glory, somebody who knew you will cry because not that you were wealthy, not that you were a boss, not that you were a CEO, not that you amassed a lot of things on this side, but you meant something to them. And that's living a life of significance. On the video introduction, you heard Pastor Rob talk about my journey in the local church. And my primary career as an adult has been serving as a pastor in the local church. And it was one of the greatest things that I ever did in my life's journey. But I always knew serving as a pastor that that was part of my purpose. and that God had a continuation of my journey, and that yes, I started as a pastor, but I needed to continue to focus on God's purpose for my life. And so 2 years ago, I had a career transition. I shifted from being a pastor of a local church in Atlanta, Georgia, to now doing what I do and travel the country and coach and consult and get a wonderful opportunity to talk to folks like you who are here today and those who are watching around the world. I remember 2 years ago when I made this announcement, there were colleagues and there were friends who raised a ton of questions. Olu, are you sure this church is going well? It's Atlanta, Georgia. It's a wonderful city like Indy. All of the things that you can ever imagine are right here, the busiest airport in the world. You can fly anywhere around the world direct. This is a great opportunity. Why would you leave all of this behind? But when you're living your life on purpose, you know that it is never just one stop, but it is multiple stops. And through faith, you have to trust that the same God that brought you here is the same God that is going to bring you there. With faith, you can never become so comfortable that you lock God into where you are when God is saying, I'm over here, I'm over here, I'm over here, I'm over here. Will you come with me? Colleagues and friends, thought I had made a mistake. And I remember when I had the conversation with my daughter and my son, and this is a picture of me on the stage at our annual conference, and our bishop, Bishop Sue, who's now the bishop of the Virginia Annual Conference, handed me my retirement papers, and I walked off the stage, and later in a conversation with my son and daughter, my daughter was in the 11th grade, and you can imagine what was going through the mind of an 11th grader. This is what she asked me, Daddy, what are you going to do if this doesn't work out? And it hit me to the core. And then I even talked to my mom and I said, hey, mom, I'm about to change careers. I'm about to go to a different direction. And she says, Olu, are you sure? And then I took all of those questions from my family. I took all of those questions from colleagues. And this next picture you will see was my new office, the kitchen table. Because whenever you follow God's plan and God's purpose, you have to leave some things behind. I had to leave behind the wonderful church building that we had built. I had to leave behind the wonderful church office that I had. And I moved into my kitchen table and I was in reaching distance to the garbage can. I was in reaching distance to the sink. I was in reaching distance to the door. But there at the kitchen table, I was living my purpose and I had become the happiest I had been in a long time. Whenever you follow God's purpose and plan, you will have to lose some things. You will have to let some things go. You will have to move, but God will always affirm it with joy, peace, love, and happiness. And so as we are trusting God for the impossible, we must remember to hold on to hope. We must remember to hold on to purpose. But finally, we have to remember to hold on to faith. Let's go back to that scripture we heard read earlier in our worship experience. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 11. The Lord's word came to Elijah, get up and go to Zarephath near Sidon. Stay there. I have ordered a widow there to take care of you. Elijah left and went to Zarephath. As he came to the town gate, he saw this widow collecting sticks. He called out to her, please get me a little water in this cup so that I can drink. She went to get some water, and then he asked for another favor. Please get me a piece of bread. So often when you read the Bible, it doesn't give you the context straight ahead. You have to read between the lines. And so the fact that it said that she was a widow was an economic statement in her current condition. In the biblical times, a woman's economic status was connected to her marital status. So what the Bible is trying to tell you is she is a widow, she is not married. It is the son's responsibility to do what the father can't do, but the son is young, so this woman is destitute. She's in poverty. She's poor. She has nothing left. And so here comes this prophet named Elijah, and he asked her to give the only thing she has left. And her response is, "I would love to give you something to eat, but all we have left is just a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour, and I'm going to bake this bread, and I'm going home to my young son, and we're going to eat our last meal, and we're going to die." An impossible situation. In that very moment, she had to make a decision. Would she have more trust in what she could see than in the God she couldn't see? Would she have trust in the bread and the oil that was in her hands? Or would she trust in the God who created the oceans, the mountains, the rivers, the lakes, and the streams? I don't know why faith is hard for you, but this is why faith is hard for me, because in our society, we've been trained academically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally to always trust in the things you can see. If you can't see it, don't believe it. If you can't touch it, don't trust it. If the Excel sheet can't prove it, don't invest in it. But in God's economy, it's often the opposite of our worldview. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by and not by. I'm glad she made the right decision. She trusted Elijah, but more importantly, she trusted God. And she says, "I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I trust." And she gave not to Elijah, but she gave to God what was in her hands. And what did God do in exchange? If you read the rest of that chapter, it said the flour never ran out and the oil overflowed. She had no idea that God had a store called Kroger's. And another store called Whole Foods that stocks flour and stocks olive oil in masses that she could never imagine. I don't know who I'm talking to, but perhaps this is for you. The thing that's blocking you from your greatest miracle, it's not God, it's you. You're unwilling to give up what's in your hand in exchange for a God who can open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you won't have room enough to receive. And so whether you're facing the impossible like a John Lewis speaking to a nation that's broken, or whether you're a crazy pastor talking to his daughter, making a transition in your career, or whether you're a widow living in poverty, and all you can trust in is what you can see. I believe we're all experiencing impossible situations. The question for you today is, will you trust in what you can see, or will you trust in the God that you can't see, who promises to never leave you nor forsake you? Lo, I'll be with you even in impossible situations. Let's pray. God, we thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. On this Pentecost Sunday, you've reminded us of the power of your Holy Spirit. And we admit we struggle with our faith. But today, we reclaim our hope. Today, we reclaim our purpose. Today, we reclaim our faith. And even in the midst of impossible situations, we declare, we decree, but most importantly, we believe, we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.